All right? But we just want to wish you a happy Father's Day today. Appreciate you being part of the Sunday school class and being here this morning. All right, today being the 16th of June, 2024, we're going to finish up. I hope today we're going to finish up this lesson. I'm going to try my very best to finish up this lesson for you today. We're still out of the book of Acts. And oh my goodness, there is so much here that reminds us of what our Lord wants us to do. And he's talking about the church and how the church, that born-again body of believers. We're not talking about a building. We're talking about the body of believers, those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior. We are that church. And we're to go to the ends of the earth and tell everybody that we can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while we're doing this, I want us to look at how God blessed in that early church and how that God used them, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of trials and heartaches and just all kinds of situations. God blessed them with souls being saved. And we started last week, we ended last week, right here in Paul's second missionary journey. And we're in section number 3 in your bulletin there. We're looking at all that. We looked at the journeys to Cilicia. We looked at the journeys to Galatia. We looked at the journeys to Troas and Samothracia and to Philippi. And last week, I think if I'm correct, we left off here where they had been thrown in prison. And Paul and Silas were singing praises unto God at midnight, at the darkest time of the day. And when it seemed like all was lost, they were thrust down into the midst of that jail, in that prison. They were down in the very bottoms of it. They had been beaten and stripped by people that did not want to hear the message of the gospel. And yet they sang praises unto God for what God had done for them, giving them the opportunity to be able to share the message to people so they could hear it. And folks, listen to me. While they were suffering physically, okay, the anguish of the pain of what they were going through, they were singing spiritually. They were joyful in their hearts. Why? Because they knew the Savior. And they knew that even if they had died during that time, they were going to be with the Lord. And I think that's what they were singing about. I honestly believe. Now, I don't have proof of that. We'll know that when we get to heaven, won't we? But you know what? I think they were singing praises unto the Lord for all that he had done for them. And when they did that, the people around them heard it. Now you think about this, man. That song we sang this morning, My Jesus, I Love Thee. When I get things on my mind or things that are bothering me or something like that, this is the song I love to sing. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. And you know, as they began to sing, the prisoners in the rest of the prison there heard them. And God heard them. And we saw last week how that God sent an earthquake. He loosened all their chains, their fetters, and let them go. And when the prison guard came in and thought that the prisoners were gone and was about to thrust himself on his sword and die because he knew that they got gone, he'd already been threatened earlier in that chapter. If they got out, he was dead. So he was going to make it look like he had died in battle or something. Paul could have let him just kill himself. But what was Paul's concern? It was for his soul. And Paul said, hey, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And I can hear those other prisoners. What is he doing? We can get a chance to escape. But God did a work there. And I want you to see here in these verses, Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse number 16. I'm sorry, let me go down here. Verse 25. Let's go down to verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I want you to see that. Folks, the world around us is going to see and hear us in our good times and in our bad times. They're going to see and hear everything we do and say. So let's give them something about the Lord. Amen? Let's give them something good today. I was thinking this morning. I had some ties hanging up in my closet. And I was thinking, Man, my Sunday school class gave me this tie years ago. Y'all gave me this class or this tie years ago for my birthday. And it says on there, saved by grace. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly what I am, saved by grace today. And I want to give praise unto God for that. And as they sang and gave praise unto God, look what the Bible said. They prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. He was under conviction, folks. And he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's the question that the world is seeking answers for today. Folks, listen to me. It's not in religion. It's not in us being good, because there's none of us that can be good enough to be able to go to heaven. It's not in any certain denomination. It's not in anything like that. What we do to be saved is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all through the book of Acts, it reiterates this fact. This man cries out before them, and he says, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have the joy that you've got in your heart and your life? What must I do to know that God is with me like you know that God is with you? What must I do to be saved?" And look at what they said. The Bible said, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." What a great verse for us as fathers today, as grandfathers, to know that we can teach our children, we can teach our grandchildren, that if they will put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too, like us, can be saved, brought out of bondage, and made to be children of God. And look what the Bible said they did. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. You know what they did? They gave them the gospel. What is the gospel? The fact, number one, that we're all in the same boat with God. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. That's why the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us that's not done that. But number two, because we're all sinners, we all owe a debt for our sin. And you know what? That debt, if we ended up paying for that debt, if we ended up paying for our sin, we all deserve to spend eternity separated from God in hell. But folks, listen to me. In spite of the fact that we're all sinners, in spite of the fact that we are all deserving of the same payment for our sin, in spite of all those things, God still loved us. Amen? He still loved us. And he gave himself for us. And they taught them the word of God. Look what he said. And they said, they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And what did they do? They told him how that in spite of their sin, Jesus still cared for them. He loved them. And he wanted them to be saved. And he told them how that they could be saved. And look what happened. The Bible said, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. Why? Because they had believed in God with all of his house. That was household salvation. Amen. The whole group got saved. And here once again, I tell you, the question that folks are looking for, we've had visitors coming in and out that are looking for answers. They're looking for answers. The question is, sir, what must I do to be saved? We've got to be willing to share that message of the gospel with them. And notice that when they did get saved, there was proof in their life of repentance. Now, when they were brought to this prison guard, I'm sure that he treated them rather roughly. I'm sure that he treated them hostile style. And he did everything he had to do to save his own life. But here, he was humbled. Here, he saw the power of God in these men's lives. And that's what he needed to see. And folks, the world is looking for you and for me today to show them something that's real, to show them something that changes a person's life. And that's what we need to show them today. And then here, not only were the souls saved during the darkest moments of their lives up to that time, but others who had been saved now encouraged and strengthened the men of God once they were released from prison. And we see that in verses 35 through 40 as they go down and they help them. The last part of verse number 40, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And you know what they did? They said, you know what? Our job is not over. There's more that need to hear about Jesus. Amen? There are always more. I heard a man yesterday in the barbershop, and he was talking about, and he mentioned something. He said, I'll be glad when the last one gets saved. And I thought, well, you know, I don't think God's put a number on it. He's wanting everybody to be saved. I think what's going to bring down God's wrath upon this world is when he sees Christians, the church, not doing what it ought to be doing. And then number two, when the world refuses to turn away, just like they did in the book of Genesis, and every thought and imagination is continually evil in their minds and in their hearts, and God says, you know what? It's time. I'm going to bring my children home and I'm going to send my wrath down. But he's not even going to do that until, guess what? He's going to see folks that's never heard the message of the gospel. Now, we're able to get the gospel to a lot of places in this world. This coming Saturday, again, I'll be preaching in New Zealand. I'll be teaching and preaching in New Zealand on the other side of the world through Microsoft Teams, all right? I physically can't be there, but you know what? I can meet with that whole church and have the service. Now, on Saturday evening here, it'll be Sunday morning there already. And you know what the great thing about it is? I cannot even have to leave the office, the church property here, to be able to give the gospel to these people. God has given us technology to do that. And we've got no reason today for not reaching the world with the gospel. I've seen a lot of people in poor areas. You probably saw this, Brother Don, when you went into Africa area. Everybody's got a cell phone now. Everybody's got a cell phone. And you know what they can do on a cell phone? They keep up with things like Facebook and Instagram and all this stuff. And they can watch things happening around the world. And you know what? God has given us the means to reach our world. Now the question is, will we be willing to do it? We got to be willing to go and do what God said do. I don't think God has put a number. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God wants everybody to be saved. And now they begin their journey into Thessalonica. And we turn here to Acts chapter 17 now. Acts chapter 17. And the Bible said, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, look at this, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. You see what happened? Paul, as his manner was. What was his manner? It was to be on the house of God on the Lord's day. He went to where the people were. And he preached unto them Jesus. But you know what? As souls were being saved, once again, the devil sticks his head up and he stirs up trouble. And look at verses 5-8. And look what happened. But the Jews which believed not. These were not folks that loved Jesus. These were not folks that knew the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior. These were people that had rejected the message of Christ. And they didn't want to hear it, and they didn't want anybody else hearing it. And they left those areas where they were, came here, and the Bible said, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Boy, that's a low blow, isn't it? Lewd fellows of the baser sort. They were thugs. They were just mean. They didn't care about anybody but themselves. And look what the Bible said. They gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They didn't turn the world upside down. They set the world right back where it needed to be. Amen. That's what happened. And souls were being saved, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Let me tell you what he's saying. We have laws that say you can't tell anybody about this Jesus. You can't preach the gospel. You can't pray. You can't read your Bible. You can't do this and do that. Does that sound familiar today? Men's hearts have not changed. But folks, they went and they gave the message of the gospel anyway. Anyway. Listen, there is a plan today to keep those that believe the truth of the Word of God out of political areas, out of leadership positions, out of the homes. They want to do everything they can do to take the Word of God, take it out, and cause the home, the father, okay, the spiritual leader of the homes, to make them look like they're dummies or something. And folks, listen to me. We can't allow that to happen. We've got to take a stand. And these men, even though they were told, you can't preach about Jesus, they told the people anyway, and great multitudes were saved. And look what the Bible said. The Bible said here, and they all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. But you know what? Even with the riots and things that were happening, and even with all the turmoil that was going on, look at verse number 9. When they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. So where would they now go? They'd been thrust out of Thessalonica. Where else would they go? They'd go up a little bit more and go over to a place called Berea. Berea. And look at verses 10-14. And here the Bible said the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went in into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, why would they say that? Why would they say that the ones here in Berea were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica? Because many of the ones in Thessalonica wouldn't take a stand. Many of those were new Christians that had gotten saved, and they didn't know the Word of God. They didn't know what the Bible said. And let me remind you of something here. We were just told, my wife was just told this week in her workplace, that the Old Testament scriptures are Old Testament scriptures, and they don't apply to our day. Okay? Now let me say something to you. When they preached to them the scriptures, the Old Testament is what they preached. And they preached that there was a Messiah that would come, and that he did come, and this is the reason that he came. And we teach the same thing today. The Old Testament, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Listen, all these things, they preached unto them the Word of God. But the folks in Thessalonica didn't have that. When they got to Berea, look what the Bible said. Who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. What did they do? They got into the Word of God and they allowed the Word of God to get in them. Amen? And that's what you and I have to do today. If we want to be able to stand when all others are falling, if we want to be able to do what God has commanded us to do and have boldness in what we do for God, for Christ and for God, we must be in the Scriptures. And look at what they did. They did this daily. Therefore, many of them believed. Why? Because the Word of God made the difference, folks. And everywhere you take the Word of God, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Listen, I remember when we were down in the islands, down in the British West Indies, and the pastor there of the church, he was native of the island. And he said, when we were here years ago, this is when he first started the ministry there, he said, a lot of the folks would come up to us naked, and men and women, you know, and do things that were not right. And he said, but when they heard the Word of God and they received it joyfully in their heart and trusted Christ as their Savior, they changed. They put on clothes. They covered up their nakedness. And they were faithful to do that which was right, because they had found out what the Word of God said. And folks, that's why we don't see this way of living in our land anymore. Folks are not ashamed to go down to the beach and take off more than what they normally would wear under their clothes. I mean, they're just everywhere. They're doing things ungodly. Why? Because the Word of God has been taken away from them, and they don't know what it says. They do that ignorantly. Now, you know what the saddest thing is? There are some folks that know what the Word of God says, but they do it anyway. And they choose to willingly disobey the Word of God. And folks, that's not what we need to do. We need to lift it up. We need to treasure it in our hearts and let it be applicable in our hearts and our lives, and it will make a difference. So therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Look at verse 15. Did this all stop the message of the gospel from being preached? No. Look at verse 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. And now the message goes forth unto Athens. Athens. Look at this, how God is blessing. And God's concern is for those that outwardly seem so intellectual. Boy, outwardly they seem to be so smart and intelligent. And now they're hungering for truth. So we look at verses 16 through 31. And now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The whole city was given unto idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. You see, the message of Christ was strangeness to them. They had never heard that. Oh yeah, they'd heard of all the false gods and the idols and philosophers and all those things, but they had not heard truth. And so they took him and brought him unto octopus or something. Anyway, he took him to the city that started with an A, okay, to the man. Said, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. You're too religious. You're trying to be politically correct in all that you do. Accepting everybody, respecting all religions is what he's saying. You're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. They had altars built to every false god you could imagine. And then they even had one so they didn't upset anybody or offend anybody. They set one up there and said, to the unknown God. If there's one out there we don't know about, here's an altar for you as well. And Paul took advantage of that and he said, let me tell you about the God that you don't know anything about. Let me tell you about the creator of the universe. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein. What did he do? He started back at Genesis. He started in the very beginning. The Chinese kids that have lived with us, what did we do with them when we gave them the gospel and they had questions? We always started in the book of Genesis. How God created all things and all things were good, very good in the eyes of God. And then sin came in on the scene. And then what God did to fix that situation. He started here at the beginning. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. In other words, God let them see and do what they were doing. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Folks, let me tell you something. These people were hungering for something that was real. They had experienced all the stories, all the philosophies, all the things that the world could give them, but there was still a void that had not yet been filled. And Paul preached unto them Jesus. And look at verses 31 through 34. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Boy, we've had that, haven't we? We've had folks that mock and say, oh, I just don't believe that stuff. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. What changed their attitude? What changed their way of thinking? It was the Word of God. And when Paul preached the Word of God, that's what made the difference. You don't see in here where they set up a stage with a band playing and everybody singing and swaying and caring. That's not going to change a person's heart. They preached the Word of God. And look what happened. When that happened and those people got saved, the Bible says that God then opened up another door outside of Athens in a place called Corinth. Now, we know that Corinth was a wicked place. And we know that the Christians that lived in Corinth, boy, they dealt with a lot of compromise there. They tried to live like the world. They tried to be like the world. They didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings or offend anybody. But listen to what the Bible said. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, in other words, they were both tent makers, he abode with them and he wrought, or he made things so he could make his way to go through the business there with them. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Now, if you'll remember, Aquila and Priscilla became great servants of God. And they even traveled along with others, you know, to help others come to Christ. But Paul continues here to reach out and to teach folks who came to the synagogues. They were there looking for answers. They were searching for the same question that the Philippian jailer asked. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be right with God? And look at verses 4 through 6. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your hands. I'm clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. They opposed themselves. Do you remember what the Jews said to Pilate? When he asked him, he said, why do you want me to crucify him? What wrong has he done? And they said, away with him. Why? And they said, let his blood be on us and on our children. And the Jewish people, bless their hearts, they have been suffering this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years because they opposed themselves. They were the chosen people of God to take the message of the Word of God to all the ends of the earth. But what did they do? They rejected it. They turned it aside. And so God turned to the Gentiles, to you and to me. The pendulum swung from the Jewish people to the Gentile people. But guess what? Now the Gentiles are rejecting God. Now the Gentile world is turning away Christ. Many of those that used to say that they were worshipers of God now are worshipers of performers and of self. And the pendulum now is swinging back. And now others are being saved that's never heard the message of the gospel. Man, folks around the world are hearing that message and being saved. And listen to me. This scripture here teaches us something that we need to understand. Wherever you take the message of the gospel, it will not fall on deaf ears. It will not return void. Don't you ever think that when you take the message of the gospel to those around you and they seemingly reject it, someone is listening. Someone is listening. Kathy was telling me this morning about some children she was witnessing to this week. Over at the Tawny Town Carnival. And a little boy or somebody was over on the side, little girl, listening to what she was telling to another girl. And that little girl came over and accepted Christ as her Savior. One situation she had, a mother was there with her daughter. And the mother kept saying, come on, we don't want to listen to this. And the teenage girl said, no, I want to hear this. And she stayed. And Kathy got to lead her to Christ. The gospel may be rejected by some, but there are many others that want to hear the message of the gospel. So don't think that you're not going to be able to do something great with God We come up on all these things. We come to the third missionary journey in verses 23. And I want you to see something here in chapter 19, because I'm trying to finish this out today. I just want to get as much of this done. You can go back and read through the book of Acts. But I want you to see something here. After all the persecutions, all the trials, all those that had been saved and all those that rejected Christ, as you read all the way up through chapter 18 and chapter 19, we come down to a verse here in chapter 19, verse number 20. And I want you to look at this. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You know what that means? That means we're on the winning side, folks. The devil may want to make you think that, hey, he's got everything in control. Oh, he's got everything planned out, and he's going to win, and you're just on the losing team. But folks, you're not on the losing side. The Word of God grew. It mightily grew, and it prevailed. And God would continue to bless and use these men of God to take the message to the ends of the earth. Now look at the trip to Rome. Ultimately, Paul comes to Rome. And then we're going to go on over to chapter 28 here. You can read about all these other things between chapters 19 and 27. They come to chapter 28 here. When they came to Rome, verse number 16. I'm going to read this to you. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I have aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And go down as Paul presents his testimony. Look at verse 24. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Here Paul is. He's imprisoned. He's got a guard hanging on him everywhere he goes, and he is still preaching the Word of God. But the book of Acts closes with these words in verses 25 through 31. Look at this. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known unto you, therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Praise God for that. Amen. I'm so glad that I heard it and got saved. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Listen to me today, folks. All through this book of Acts, we see how God took men that were willing to listen and take the Word of God and take it everywhere that they could. I want you to understand just how much God desires for every person to be saved. When you read the book of Acts, you see how that God wants every person to hear the message. But I think that God also, in this book of Acts, wants us to see and understand that we're going to face spiritual warfare. If you're either on one side or the other, amen, you can't straddle the fence. And it's time for you and me to get on one side, either for God or on the side without God. I choose to stand with the Lord, amen. Who is on the Lord's side? Man, I want to be on that side. But thirdly, I want you to see the obstacles and the fears that encounter people while living for the Lord. You're going to face some things, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Folks, you and I today can take this message anywhere and everywhere if we will ask the Lord to fill us with His boldness, His power, just as these men and these women did. Let's be those servants of God today. Let's take the message of the gospel to the ends of the world, starting right here in Carroll County, Maryland. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you. And I thank you, Lord, again for these lessons that we've had. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us to see the fact that, Lord, your desire is that all men come to know you as their Savior. Help us, Lord, today to be willing to take that message to the ends of the world and to do all that we can do to share the gospel with everybody we see. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to teach this class. I pray, God, you'll bless our fathers today. Help them, Lord, to have a great day in the Lord. And we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.